This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Fixtures are coming up thick and fast. Plenty of storylines from those games. We'll be talking Bristol City later in the hour. They were trounced, really, by tabletoppers West Brom last night. So what's the reaction from the Robins fan base? We'll also be talking about Blackburn. A good win last night at home against Brentford. Maybe the pressure is starting to come off slightly. Blackburn manager Tony Mowbray will also be joined very shortly by the Leeds legend Tony DiRigo, who will be talking about Leeds. Derby, Stoke, played for many English clubs, so it'll be a joy to be joined by Tony. We've had him on before, so it'll be great to have him on very, very soon to talk a whole host of his former clubs. If you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Let's look back at the Championship action from last night. I mentioned Blackburn had a good win last night. They won 1-0 at home against Brentford. Bradley Dack's third goal in two games. Reality fans out there will know that he's engaged to Olivia Atwood, from Love Island. So a good bit of personal information about Bradley Dack. But on the field, 9 goals this season. Things are going pretty well for Bradley. Maybe he thinks on and off the field he's pretty happy with life. For Hull, a very impressive victory at home against Preston. And guess what? Yes, you guessed it correctly. Jared Byrne scored twice. No surprise there. A good win for them. Middlesbrough, what an important game it was for them. They won 1-0 at home against Barnsley. An absolutely crucial result for Jonathan Woodgate. QPR were smashed at home by Sabri Lamouchi's Nottingham Forest by 4-0. Sheffield Wednesday drew 1-1 against Birmingham. A bit of tension between the two coaches. And West Brom, as I mentioned, top of the table, winning 4-1 at home against Bristol City. A pretty emphatic result for the Baggies. We're going to be talking all things Leeds now. And I mentioned how we're going to be joined by Leeds legend. And I'm delighted to say we are joined by Tony DiRigo, the former Leeds, Chelsea, Aston Villa defender. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Tony, let's talk about Leeds first and foremost. A win late on at Reading on Tuesday night by 1-0. They're up to second, just behind West Brom in the Championship table. Is it all positive at Leeds, or are Leeds fans thinking, oh God, this was similar last season, we made a great start and then it all fell away at the end?
Well, that's the question mark, isn't it? But I certainly think this season the squad and the team look improved. They look a little bit more resolute, I think, at the back. Conceding very few goals. But yeah, the last couple of results have been impressive in the fact that they haven't played probably their best, yet they've managed to fashion a way of getting all 3 points. And as we know, that's the sign of a good side. But again, it's all down to that crunch period, you know, from March onwards. And let's be honest, last season, you know, Leeds United didn't handle that very well at all. So they'll learn from that. But at the moment, yeah, all's going very well.
You, of course, were defending your time, Tony. When we speak to a lot of Leeds fans, pretty much the main name that has been mentioned so far this season is a man on loan from Brighton, Ben White at centre-back. People have been waxing lyrical, talking about he's a future England player. He's a player that's already able to play Premier League football. I know that some of the Liverpool scouts have been at Leeds games recently. How highly do you rate this young chap? Do you think he's good enough to go on to play international football for England?
I think what's really interesting, when Leeds signed Ben White, you know, there's not many that knew, you know, anything about him. You look where he kind of came from, so being, you know, out on loan from Brighton at the lower divisions, and Pontus Janssen, of course, just left. Well, I tell you what, you know, he has been an absolute revelation, and I think the way that Bielsa wants to play is very important, that the centre-halves are comfortable with the ball. But he is, you know, really is like a Rolls-Royce at the back. He has been fantastic. Now, one caveat, I suppose, is that, you know, he's playing in the Championship. The Premier League is certainly, you know, a big step up and to the top of that. And England is another step up. So there's a few ways to go. But I got to say, what I've seen so far and the way he's developed so far, you know, he's learning. He's one heck of a player. And with the ball at his feet, you know, he's absolutely superb. But defensively, you know, looks very good as well. So, yeah, still a young man, still learning. But there's no doubt that that type of player and what the performances that Ben White has been producing, you know, in the future, if he keeps going like that on that trajectory, yeah, he'll go all the way.
It seems like every season, Tony, with Leeds, that it feels like the make or break season that Leeds have to get promoted. It's been so long out of the Premier League for Leeds that it feels like if they don't get it this season, they're going to be struggling for years and years to come. But this season, does it feel make or break for Marcelo Bielsa? Also make or break for a number of key Leeds players? Because there's the belief that there are a number of players in this squad. I'm thinking Calvin Phillips in midfield. So many people in the Championship feel he's ready for the Premier League. We just mentioned Ben White there, that it feels like if Leeds don't get promoted into the Premier League, not only will they have to deal with that mentally of not being in the top flight, but also some of the players in the current squad will be thinking about Premier League moves.
Yeah, that's a good point, but there has been 15 make or break years, I think, at Leeds United. That's just the way that the club and the fans think. But I think you're right in that this season, especially because last season, I thought, obviously Leeds were very, very good, somehow managed to miss out on promotion. They're giving it another go, and they're looking very strong. And keeping hold of those key players that you mentioned was really important. I think keeping hold of the manager as well. So everything is moving along nicely, but it needs to happen, I do think. And you're right, I think the likes of Calvin Phillips, I'm delighted that he signed for Leeds. He wants to get his hometown club, obviously, back in the Premier League, and everything's going very well. But I think career-wise, you can only kind of do that for so long. So he's giving it another go, and I think rightly so. But yeah, I think there's a lot of big questions to be answered this season. And if we don't go up, then I think, they're one of those players, unfortunately. We'll have to change. But let's hope that that doesn't happen.
Another of your former clubs, Tony, Derby. Philip Cocker has obviously replaced Frank Lampard this season, who's doing a good job at one of your other former clubs, Chelsea. But do you feel sympathetic towards Philip Cocker? Because he has had a whole host of things to have to deal with this season, mainly off the field. And therefore, it's not been easy for him to come in to the Championship for the very first time, the first time he's managed in this country. And yet he's had to deal with so many off-field issues that most managers potentially either never have to face in their careers or very rarely face.
You're right. It's been an absolute roller coaster at Derby. But I do think as well he has done a great job, simply because there was never going to be any, I don't think, great success after obviously Frank and the two or three of the lone players performed really well, had left. It was always going to be a really difficult job, made even more hard. But you're quite right. All the stuff, the craziness that's gone on off the pitch, which really has let everyone down. So I think he's performed admirably. Certainly a very knowledgeable coach. He's got a decent group of players there. But I think under the circumstances, he's doing rather well. So still, plenty of strides to be made by Derby. But it was tough of what's happened. Certainly losing Frank and those the great players that they had, Mason Mount, Tomori, etc.
And the spotlight is only going to continue on Derby. Wayne Rooney is joining as a player coach, and he's joining as a player in January, but is expected to be actually in the dugout on Saturday against QPR. Do you think, in hindsight, obviously Wayne Rooney could prove to be an absolute revelation. It could be a fantastic decision to make that, but the fact of what happened over the last couple of months, and obviously they could never have predicted what was going to happen, but do you think they might be thinking Wayne Rooney is sometimes in the spotlight for the wrong reasons, that this might really backfire on them?
I think any time that you certainly invest in an older player, and obviously with the likes of Wayne Rooney, my goodness, what a fantastic player at his peak he has been. But you've got to take a chance, and they're clearly hoping that bit of magic is still there. He'll inspire players around him, and the youngsters they've got, can learn and improve, and he can really get some momentum going. But you're right, we've seen it before. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But certainly with Rooney, I think the attitude that he's got, he will bring something to the table. How much and what sort of influence is yet to be seen. But it's exciting. Derby will be under the microscope even more, if that is possible. And every move that he makes, will be looked at in great detail. But I certainly hope it does go well. But there's a lot of expectation, and sometimes that is very difficult to match.
And just finally, Tony, on another former club, Stoke. Obviously, it's been a tough start to the season for them. Nathan Jones was in charge at the start, and things were just going from bad to worse to even worse, and they were bottom of the table. Michael O'Neill's come in, obviously still on a temporary basis doing the Northern Ireland job at the same time as being the Stoke manager. He had back-to-back wins to start with. They lost the other night to Cardiff. But do you feel that with Michael O'Neill coming in, he's used to working with players at that sort of level, at international level, and he tends to get the most out of them? He's done a terrific job over the last 8 years with Northern Ireland. Do you think that Stoke will be more than okay with Michael O'Neill now in charge?
Yes, I do. And you're quite right. He has done an absolutely remarkable job with Northern Ireland. And some of the performances and the results he's been getting with the players at his disposal has been wonderful. I feel really sorry for Stoke City, I have to say, because when I went there, it was obviously a club in the lower leagues, but, great setup, really good people, really good owners. And suddenly, they get to the big time and they looked secure in that mid-table. But wow, what a plummet. And when you get on that downward spiral, it's very difficult to stop. I think what you're seeing now is probably a couple of years, isn't it, since obviously the relegation, in that trying to clear out the players that clearly don't want to be there. And that's a huge problem, and the difference in financial situation between what the players used to get paid and obviously in the Championship is different. So there's a bit of time for that to get through. They would have liked to have bounced back, but it's just gone from bad to worse. And clearly with the managerial change now, they'll hope that that's the end of the problems. And Michael O'Neill, I think he's going to do a great job already. A couple of good results. Yeah, unfortunate against Cardiff, but I can see them now, starting to climb the table. But, it's tough. The Championship, I think, this year isn't as strong as in previous seasons. I think a lot of the teams have certainly had to get rid of their bigger players simply to try and meet the FFP rules, which are now biting. And so everyone can beat anyone else. But at the same time, if you can get on a run near the bottom, you can get yourself out of it. But they better start that. And they have done that. And so I look forward to them climbing the table.
Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Tony. That was Tony Dorigo, Leeds legend there. Obviously also played for the likes of Chelsea, Aston Villa, Derby and Stoke. And it was great, Tony joining us there to give us his views on Leeds. That it does feel like a make or break, but as Tony said, it's been like that for 15 years really at Leeds. Oh, this is a make or break season. It's crucial for them to get promoted. Also talking about Derby and Wayne Rooney coming in. As I said, he could be in the dugout on Saturday at Pride Park in their home game against QPR. And also another of his former club, Stoke, believes they'll be absolutely fine. And talking about when Tony was at Stoke. Also, I remember last time we spoke to Tony about playing abroad as well, that he played over in Italy with Torino. And always good to get Tony's views on a whole host of his former clubs. Really good to get Tony on. So many thanks to Tony Dorigo for joining us on the Championship Fan Show this afternoon. If you want to share your views this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. Or WhatsApp us on that very same number. Later in the hour, we're going to be talking a bit about Bristol City. But up next, we'll be talking all things Blackburn.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. As I mentioned, we're going to talk all things Blackburn now, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by Ryan Hildred, Blackburn podcaster. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ryan. Last night, a really good home win for Blackburn against a good Brentford side that many people are expecting good things of this season. Brentford have been in really good form, actually, of recent times. So a 1-0 home win, that must be a pretty good feeling after last night.
Yeah, really good feeling. It's quite bizarre, actually, because we won on Saturday as well against Barnsley, and Barnsley were extremely unlucky to lose that game on Saturday. So very odd feeling on Saturday, winning a game, but still feeling, a little bit disappointed. But last night, absolutely chalk and cheese versus Saturday. Just a completely, professional performance last night. We rode a little bit of a wave in the second half from Brentford, but that was a streetwise performance I've seen from Rovers in a long time, actually. Just doing the kind of the Neil Warnock side of the game really good, like slowing the game down, managing the game out at the end, stopping Brentford from getting play underway quickly. All these things that just show, maybe there's a bit of maturity there. So, a good 1-0 win and a real confidence boost for us, definitely.
Another goal, as per usual, with Bradley Luck. That there are certain players in the Championship, when you go through different teams, when you think of Hull, you think of Jarrod Byrne. When you think of Huddersfield, you think of Carlin Grant. With Blackburn, it is always the case with Bradley Luck. He scored his third goal in two games last night, 9 for the season now. He is just such a vital player. When Bradley Luck plays well, this Blackburn team tends to perform.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's just got that knack of getting into the box at the right time. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the goal, but it was a fantastic team goal. Built it from the back, got forward at pace, and then Stuart Downing channeling his inner Roberto Carlos from somewhere to get the overlap run. And then, Dak just timed that run into the 6-yard box well, and and put the ball in. And the stuff that Dak was doing last night, I've said before on this show, just the physical side of the game, you know, getting stuck in, being, you know, physical, robust, and not making it easy in the position where he is. You know, it's all these parts of the games that's making him more of that complete player than just popping up with the goals.
When you read the comments from Blackburn manager Tony Mowbray after last night's game, he was very, very positive. I'll just read a few of them out. He said that we showed what a good side we can be. The first half particularly, we were good with the ball. The goal epitomised that, a really good goal. Sometimes in a game, five or six play well and there are a few under par, but just about all of them were right up there with their performance levels, and we needed to be against a really good side. I have a brilliant set of individuals who really care and really fight for each other and are desperate to do well, and I'm just pleased for them. Would you say that's a fair reflection last night, even though it was only by a one goal margin, that as a performance goes against a good Brentford side, this was something really positive to take forward?
Yeah, definitely. So definitely agree with the assessment. I did the player ratings for the Rovers chat site last night, and I had all players at least 7, and then three of them at 8 out of 10 as well. So it was 100% a team performance. You know, all 11 of them contributed well. And yeah, you know, the manner of the victory, just as I say, all that ugly stuff we did well, the streetwise stuff we did, the manner of the goal, just the way we got stuck in, the way that the fans were able to get on board with the side and how we were playing. Just, yeah, absolutely, just on the whole, a really good, complete performance. And as you say, against a good side in Brentford, you know, got a lot of respect for Brentford. And they were unlucky, you know, they hit the post with a free kick and had a couple of good chances as well. Yes, we rode our luck, but a real good one last night, a good feeling, absolutely.
I'm assuming as well, one of the big positives as well as the performance and also the win is the fact that Blackburn kept a clean sheet, and Brentford are a good side. That they've been very good of recent times. They've got some real goal threats, the likes of Ollie Watkins, who's made an impressive start in a goal-scoring sense this season so far. That actually a clean sheet, especially we've been talking with you and a number of other Blackburn guests about the defensive issues, both with injuries and in terms of conceding goals. This must be, if anything, actually, obviously the win is the biggest thing, but defensively keeping a clean sheet, that must be a rather significant moment.
Yeah, it was. And no coincidence that it's when Darrell Lenihan's back in the side. You know, he came back on Saturday and he was there again last night, obviously. You know, two wins on the bounce, clean sheet last night. No coincidence that it's when Lenihan's back. Adebayo just seems to be getting better by the game and looking good in central defence. He's probably going to end up pairing with Lenihan now for the rest of the season, which might be slightly harsh on Derek Williams. And yeah, Nyambi last night, Ryan Nyambi, Mowbray said in his post-match comments that he played Nyambi to, you know, stop Benrahma, and he largely did that. You know, Benrahma hit the post with a free kick, as I say, but Benrahma was limited in what he was able to do. Ollie Watkins had a very quiet game, which I think is testament to how Lenihan managed him, and you wouldn't have known that we had a makeshift left-back in Stuart Downing. You know, he was fantastic out there last night, and as I say, a crucial part with the assist for the goal, so yeah, really pleasing. A really pleasing defensive performance. And I keep going on about it, but it's just that maturity, that streetwise stuff that really impressed me last night. Just seemed to... We've been bullied by other sides, and other sides have done that to us in the past. It was nice for us to do it to another side.
When we've spoken to you, Ryan, a few of the other Blackburn guests that we've had on, there's been a sense that Tony Mowbray isn't under as much pressure as, say, someone like Jonathan Woodgate, but there are questions being asked, wondering, is he quite the right man? He's been in the job, especially nowadays, quite a long time, over 2 years. With where Blackburn are at, they're 13th at the moment, 24 points. So they're only 6 points, actually, off the top six. Where are they really going? And do you think that Tony Mowbray is still the right man to take Blackburn forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what two wins will do, in it. And, you know, I could easily come on here and say, oh, yeah, Mowbray's the right man for the job now. You know, I'm not going to, you know, do that. There still is the concern there just because of the manner of the performances over the whole of the season. You know, those away performances that I said to you last week, that we're going to those places and being rolled over. Two wins doesn't change that. Let's just see what it's like now over the next few games. As Mowbray said in his post-match comments, which you read out, I can't fault the effort, the work ethic, and all of that side of stuff that Mowbray's done, all the off-pitch stuff that he's done. But ultimately, it's, you know, is it that X factor? Is it that stuff that's going to get us into the playoffs, get us into, you know, promotion reckoning? It's that little niggling doubt that I've got because, you know, is Mowbray going to be the one to just give us that little bit of an oomph? But yeah, can't fault the effort. We've had terrible managers over the last, you know, 7-8 years. It's nice to have a manager who you know cares and therefore is instilling that on his players. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh yeah, Mowbray's, you know, I'm not going to just go against what I said last week. If you offer me Chris Hughton now, I'd take him. But yeah, certainly pleasing last night with getting the win.
So looking forward then, Ryan, to Blackburn's next game. Obviously, the games just keep coming thick and fast. It is a very, very hectic period of the season. On Saturday, it's a away game at Stoke. Obviously, they've got a new manager in the form of Michael O'Neill. It was back-to-back wins at the start of his tenure, although they did lose to Cardiff the other night. I'm guessing this is a more difficult game than maybe it did look on paper a few weeks ago, and you perhaps would have been hoping that Nathan Jones would still be in the job and Michael O'Neill hadn't taken over.
Yeah, definitely. You know, new managers always get a bounce, don't they? And I've said to you about our away performances and our away form as well. So it's very much which Blackburn Rovers is going to turn up on Saturday. Got to take a lot from the last two wins. Wins, you know, in different circumstances. Saturday's poorer than last night. Yeah, let's go there with confidence. Let's see if Mowbray names an unchanged side. He doesn't do that very often, but certainly with everyone at a 7 out of 10 or above last night, certainly I'd be rewarding them with that at Stoke away. But yeah, it's going to be a tough one. You know, they're going to be getting behind their side, and Michael O'Neill's a good manager. So you think about Stoke, you think, yeah, it's a difficult place to go. So their fans are going to be fully on board with it, aren't they?
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Ryan. That was Ryan Hildred, a Blackburn podcaster. That was a good result for them last night, 1-0 at home. It may not seem like an emphatic result, but Tony Mowbray was quite clearly extremely happy with the performance, really, of the whole team. All of the 11 that started played really well. I think, obviously, the win will be the most important thing to Blackburn fans, but that clean sheet, considering the problems Blackburn have had defensively, both in terms of the number of goals they've been conceding as well as the bit of the injury crisis that they've had, they'll be delighted that they've got that win. It's back-to-back wins, and in this crazy season that is the Championship, literally a couple of wins, and the outlook on Blackburn's season looks very different. They're up to 13th on 24 points, and as I just mentioned, they're 6 points only off the top six. I mean, it's remarkable how things can change very, very quickly. Bradley Dack, as per usual, is on fire at the moment. 3 in his last 2, and 9 goals so far this season, so he's in good form. They travel to Stoke, as I mentioned, to the Bet365 Stadium on Saturday afternoon. Just a reminder of some of the other results. As I mentioned, Blackburn winning at home against Brentford. Hull, what an emphatic victory for them. They've had some pretty good thumping victories in recent weeks, and yet again we talked about the importance of Bradley Dack to Blackburn. Jared Bowen, yet again, 2 goals. I know on the Newcastle fan show here on Love Sport every Wednesday between 7 and 8, they were discussing the possibility of Jared Bowen going to Newcastle, and I think Steve Bruce was at Hull just as Jared Bowen was emerging onto the scene. There is a very young player, scored twice again, and I find it remarkable actually that he didn't go in the summer, but there were no real firm bids that came in for him. But I certainly think in January, Hull would do very well to keep hold of him. A big result for Jonathan Woodgate. The pressure was ramping up on him, but Middlesbrough are now out of the relegation zone after beating Barnsley. Gerhard Struber, back-to-back defeats at the start of his tenure at Barnsley. QPR smashed at home by Nottingham Forest by 4-0. Their poor form continues. First 10 games were great for QPR. A bit like Charlton, they are slipping down with a poor run of form. Sheffield Wednesday drew 1-1 against Birmingham. A pretty frosty atmosphere, environment between Gary Monk and Pep Clote, who used to be his assistant with Gary Monk for many, many years. And for tabletoppers West Brom, a comfortable victory. They annihilated Bristol City. So a great result for Slaven Bilic's side. Not such a good result for the Robins. We'll be getting the Bristol City perspective next.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. You can get us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. Just a rundown of where the table is at the moment in the Championship. West Brom are currently top, an emphatic result that we'll talk about in just a few moments' time against Bristol City. They are top on 39 points, a couple of points clear of Leeds in second. In the playoff positions at the moment, Fulham and Nottingham Forest on 32 points, Preston on 31, Swansea on 30. In the bottom three, Barnsley are bottom on 9 points, Stoke second bottom on 14, and Wigan on 16 points. One side just outside the playoff positions now are Bristol City. They've just dropped out of those positions. To talk all things the Robins, I'm delighted to say, we're joined by Paul Binning, the exiled Robin on Twitter and Facebook. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Paul. As I mentioned, a pretty disappointing result last night away at the tabletop as West Brom 4-1. Is the thing that will frustrate Bristol City fans more? Not necessarily. Obviously, no fan likes losing any games, but it was perhaps the manner in which Bristol City went down last night.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, West Brom are a good team. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And we've lost three matches this season, and two of them have been to West Brom and Leeds. So it sort of shows normally the level of team has to be to beat us. But yeah, we were disappointing last night. We played a different formation, one we've not seen before. Not sure whether it did or didn't work. But I mean, ultimately, all the first three goals were all down to individual errors, giving the ball away cheaply in and around the edge of our penalty area. Poor passes or poor control. You can't do that against a team like West Brom. They're going to punish you. And you know, we could have been playing any formation or any players last night, but if you give the ball away like that on the edge of your area, it's going to be very hard to keep a good team like that out. And we just never really, aside from a 10-minute spell at the start of the second half, never really looked like getting back into the game.
Quite clearly, Paul, Bristol City are a good team. And I think there are a number of solid teams like Bristol City that are right in the frame for a playoff position this season. You mentioned there how two of the three defeats, and this there was only one defeat since the opening day of the season before last night for Bristol City, so they had showed some really good consistency. But you mentioned the only two teams, two out of three they've lost to, are Leeds and West Brom, the sides that are top two. Now, it's no disgrace losing to those two teams because they're good teams, but does that maybe indicate that a playoff position is Bristol City's aim this season, because against the very best, Bristol City may be not quite at that level?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think we're lacking a certain quality, a certain cut through. We struggle to break teams down. We play a counter-attacking style, which in theory helps us away from home, which our away form shows. But it does struggle, makes us struggle sometimes at home to teams. We've had a couple of sort of fairly slow draws at home recently that haven't really sort of gone as well as the fans would like. And yeah, I think you say just lack that little bit of quality. We certainly haven't got that 20-goal a season striker at the moment. We don't get masses of goals from midfield either. So you're struggling to sort of win games maybe, which are a bit tight. We're very good at getting draws. I think we've got more draws than almost anyone else in the league, but maybe just missing that extra bit of spark to get those 3 points often enough to challenge for top two.
Interesting to read some of the comments from Lee Johnson, the Bristol City manager, after the game. He said he was disappointed in himself, so he took quite a bit of responsibility on himself. And I think Lee Johnson always comes across as quite an honest person and always doesn't try to find someone else to blame, tends to take the blame himself. He felt that his team weren't aggressive enough. Would you say that that's a fair reflection on last night's game, that obviously West Brom are a good side, but maybe Bristol City weren't quite physical and aggressive enough to challenge them?
Yeah, and I think when he takes the blame himself, I think there's an element of, in that he's saying he picked maybe two or three players who you wouldn't necessarily expect to be in the team, and they probably didn't perform. I'm sure that'll get back to the players on the training ground this week, but some were given an opportunity and didn't really take it. But yeah, there was, and I think, you know, if you look back a couple of years and half of most of last season, the Lee Johnson's sort of team identity, which he's very keen and very fond of talking about, was, you could sort of see it was high press, it was high energy, it was really hard working, really getting players all over the pitch and that just didn't materialise last night. And I don't know why. I don't know whether the players were just tired after their games, or whether they just weren't quite sure what they were supposed to be doing in the formation that was new to them, or what it was. But for whatever reason, there just seemed to be a lack of an edge last night, and a lack of something about us, but just given the ball away cheaply as well, just seems to demoralise us quite quickly.
And I'm sure things wouldn't have been helped last night by the fact that Callum O'Dowda had to go off injured before half-time. I suppose it doesn't matter who it is in the starting 11. If a player goes down injured in the first half of a big game away from home, that's not going to help, and it's going to really challenge a side to have to adjust things when you wouldn't have necessarily anticipated you would have to.
Yeah, partly. I think in that particular instance, he was almost coming in as a cover, well, giving Tommy Rowe a bit of a rest, playing left wing back. It looked like that anyway. So we had a ready-made replacement in terms of Rowe on the bench, who we planned to rest. I think the bigger impact, to be honest, was a 2-0 down at half-time. We had to do something, so we changed formation. And Lee Johnson then brought on a further two substitutes at half-time. So we had no options left to refresh it or change it in the second half. And I think certainly with 20 minutes to go, when we went back to 2-1, that would have been a really great opportunity to have then brought on another player, someone else with a bit more, a bit more in their legs, a bit more something different, and maybe tweak the formation a little bit. But it left us, thanks to that first half injury, it left us a little bit short and unable to affect the side and the setup too much at that point.
I wanted to ask you something about Lee Johnson, because, as I said, he comes across as an honest guy, and I think he's a good manager that is pushing for a place amongst potentially a Premier League club if Bristol City don't get promoted. Yeah. I was speaking to a Watford guest yesterday, and he seemed quite condemned or realising the fate that Watford might get relegated, and his first choice would potentially be someone like a Lee Johnson. Is there any worry amongst Bristol City fans that if Bristol City don't get promoted, they don't get into playoffs this season, that there might be clubs sniffing around, maybe in the Premier League, that might be looking at someone like Lee Johnson and think, it may be a little bit of a punt, and I think that's just the way that modern yeah. football is, that he's English, he's not foreign, so he doesn't necessarily have that enticing factor to him. But do you think there's a concern that Lee Johnson, if Bristol City don't get into the Premier League, that some Premier League clubs might be looking at him?
Yeah, I think undoubtedly. I would assume they are. I think what you've seen with Chris Wilder this season, the way he's come into the Premier League, it'll probably have a little bit of a trickle effect, I think, in terms of Premier League clubs suddenly thinking, oh, hang on, there's some talent down there. I think it's a bit of twofold in that, though. I think there's an awful lot of our fans, I wouldn't say anywhere near a majority, but a significant portion of our fans who might feel that if we didn't get in the playoffs this year, to be honest, but it might be a need for a change. I mean, I'm personally not in that camp, but there is a section of a fan base that would feel that, finishing 8th and 9th is brilliant and it's a great achievement, etc. But do we need a change to take us on to that next level? So I think there's a bit of a thought that actually, if we don't make the playoffs this year, he might even think, do you know what? That's me done. I've had three goes. We haven't quite made it. I need a change, or the club needs a change. So I think, depending where we finish at the end of the season, it could well have ramifications on that position in the summer, one way or another, definitely.
Looking then at Bristol City's next game, obviously these games are seemingly coming every few days at the moment. It's at home against Huddersfield. Now, they've improved since Danny Cowley took over from Jan Sievert a couple of months ago. So they're starting to move away from the relegation zone. But I'm assuming at home, Bristol City will bat themselves, even if Huddersfield are perhaps a plucky side at the moment.
Well, possibly. But I'm in our home form. As I said, not as good as our away form, actually. We don't often lose there. But we've struggled to quite a few draws as well. So I think that we're not the sort of team to go and confidently win and easily win many matches. When we do win, it tends to be by the odd goal. We rarely lose by too many either. So it's always a tight game, to be honest. It always seems a tight game. But I think with Fulham away the following week, which is obviously going to be a very tricky place to get any sort of result, having drawn at home last week, having lost last night, I think we really, it's a really important one for us to really sort of go out Huddersfield and hope to catch them cold and maybe put in the probably the best performance of the season we could really do at home, to really go and take the game to them and hopefully win fairly comfortably, which would be a lovely, lovely idea. But as I said, most of our form for the last season or so hasn't really shown that at home.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Paul. That was Paul Binning at the Exiled Robin, if you want to find him on Twitter or on Facebook, talking about Bristol City there. And obviously losing to West Brom is no disgrace this season, because they are, and they were at the beginning of the season, probably the most fancied side to get promoted this season. But I think it was the manner that Bristol City are a good team. It's not as if they're 19th in the table, and so maybe it's no surprise to see a side like West Brom dominate so much. But I think it's the fact that it was such a convincing win for West Brom that was maybe the surprising thing for Bristol City fans. Talking about Lee Johnson now, as I said, we talked to Jacob Kulscher from the WD18 YouTube channel about Watford yesterday. He seemed quite resigned to the fact that Watford are probably going to get relegated, and he thought as a long-term option, someone like Lee Johnson would be a good option. And it was interesting to hear Paul's opinion there, that or view, that there might be some Bristol City fans, if they don't get promoted this season, suggesting some fans might believe it's time for a change. Now, I think there is an argument to say with some clubs that over a period of time, if someone's not constantly winning things, that sometimes things can become a little bit stale and it needs a new voice, a new injection. And that can happen in sports. And I don't think that's something that's wrong. But I think it'd be a little bit surprising if they decided to do that. But there seems to be a lot of money being pumped in, not just to Bristol City, but to Bristol Bears, obviously owned by the same person, Steve Lansdowne. He's putting a lot of money, not just into the playing squads in particular on the rugby side of it for Bristol Bears, but a lot of money into the city and into the clubs to improve a whole host of things. So they're certainly taking it seriously. And I think Lee Johnson's a good manager, but because he's not from Italy or he's not from Spain, I get the sense, I heard it on the Sunday supplement, actually, on Sky Sports on Sunday, a really good point. We've got to this point now where unless you get promoted into the Premier League, it feels like the Championship for all English managers below the Premier League, that's sort of your ceiling. You can't get there unless you get yourself promoted. That Premier League clubs are seemingly always going to side. It may be just a cycle, but it just seems like they're always going to side with a foreign name, that it feels like that's the way to go. That when, if Southampton are going to sack Ralph Hasenhüttl, they're probably going to go to a foreign manager. You take Everton and West Ham, one of the big names being linked with that is David Moyes. Now, he's a British manager, but he's just another of these that's going around on this carousel at the moment. They're just being plucked off every so often. It's not a new name coming from the Championship. And there are plenty of good managers. Someone like Chris Wilder has perhaps deserved a Premier League job, and the only way he's got one is by taking Sheffield United into the Premier League. Eddie Howe taking Bournemouth into the Premier League. That the only real way of getting in is actually getting promoted. That if you're a good manager in the Championship, you're probably not going to get the job in the Premier League unless you take a team into the Premier League. So you just wonder whether someone like Lee Johnson, is he going to get that opportunity? I think if Watford sack Kike Sanchez-Flores, I don't think they'll be appointing a manager, an English manager from the Championship. It just doesn't seem like the way at the moment. Who knows? That cycle might change in a few years. It might be the British managers, might be the in thing, but we're going to have to wait and see on that one.
Love Sport.